Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. While Iris is away on her own side quest, the rest of the coterie are still recovering from their battle with the Inquisition. Everett tried to find a way to accept his life as a vampire. Ridley got some magic vampire medication and planned to take out the orphans. And Harvey got a job working animal control. Can the coterie find the targets they're looking for before the orphans start looking for them? Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
So having come to an accord of a sort, Ridley and Everett, you've set out with 3 main objectives. You want to check in with Sergeant McGregor to see kind of what the situation is with the police force from the Kindred side of things. You want to see what the deal is with Billy Kincaid, given that she seemed to have some knowledge of Kindred activities and also shot Everett in the head and might be aware of that. And finally, your kind of ultimate objective is to scout out the orphan's base, not unlike you did on episode 3 of this very show. To see kind of what the deal is. Ridley's getting a little bit hungry and is still kind of fucked up, so he's looking to eat. But more importantly,
random question, Tom. I just realized, because it's been a couple of days. Did Chonky drop off my like silver stabby gloves,
yes,
or am I still waiting on? Okay, cool. Then I just have them with me. Great. That was all I want to check.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. I know you've been tracking those gloves for a time. So
say,
here you go,
question,
pal.
But where are my vampire killers?
It's just like Ripley being like, okay, cool, yeah, this day is fine, but I know there are treats somewhere in the house, and like, I mean, not a big deal, but maybe now.
Yeah, random question, but who's a good girl? Can you confirm that I'm a good girl really quick?
Honestly, I feel like that's just my therapist's job in real life. I'm just like, can you confirm not imposter doing okay? You confirmed half, thanks, okay, bye. Here's some money. So yes, you have your stabby vampire killing gloves.
Yeah, they're tucked under his coat. So he's gone out still as like Dr. Ridley if we were looking at the action figure.
So wait, we say tucked under your coat. And so
he had him,
gauntlets.
He had him make like a harness for them that sits at the small of his back, so he can like have normal hands and then just like slide them on and be Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, because they're like stabbing implements, right? Are they on the knuckle of the fist or are they on the fingertips?
I can't remember now. So it was like literally like kind of a Freddy Krueger with shorter blades. The idea was he's got like knuckle dusters that are silver, and then he's got silver like claws like Catwoman. So he can do all of his grappling, but it'll do aggravated damage to vampires, where before he couldn't really do much to vampires.
But they're not like knives at the end of your fingers.
No, it's like a Black Panther
Caltron level.
That is the perfect metaphor. It's like a Black Panther gauntlet. So it's leather gloves, but they've got silver caps on the fingers and silver punch palm business.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm less incredulous. In my head, they were like the... like Kratos gauntlets from like God of War 3 that are just massive golden like fists.
Just lion heads?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Ridley was buying murder things from a weird artist. I was like, I imagine these being big and stupid. Those are much more manageable. Okay, cool. So, small of your back, Jean from Gentleman Bastard style. I also like that weirdly, it's like, it's like you're an extra in a cop show getting arrested, but it's so you can get murder.
yeah.
You're going out for murder. Okay, fantastic. So, yeah, you've got your gloves. You're dressed as Dr. Ridley. Gods help us all. Everett, what are you wearing these days? You've just got a fresh version of your current outfit. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was the case. I'm trying to think if there was any reason for that to be sullied once again.
I did
get shot in the back
with
a shotgun, yes. And
yeah,
then
so
I blacked out and he was everywhere.
Given that this is, I believe, based on our previous session, which again was a hot second ago, so I apologize if this is a minor continuity error, but I feel like you came to an accord and it wasn't like, we're going to go do this right now. It's like, this is what we'll do next. So I would fully buy It's Been a Day. I will take a rouse check from both of you, but I will say that with the Silver Foxes, nay, Bear Boys, at your command, they can bring you stuff now. They're kind of back in play as Ridley's... what's the actual name of that skill, Ryan? Is it just having a gang?
Oh, it's... I think it's called Allies. So I put... If we want to get really technical,
I would love to put three
points into Allies, which gave me a street gang, and then I put another three dots into Reliability, which meant they'd show up whenever I called.
There you go.
That's right, and they're quite capable, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're like... basically it was like, I want a biker gang, and they show up when I call. Because honestly, it's a really smart system in that you can buy biker gangs of your friends. It does not mean they show up when you call. They just like you. So I sunk all my points into the Bear Boys.
I rolled a 0, which is a 10. So I failed my rouse check.
I also failed.
Oh, you boys are so hungry.
It's true.
Update my hunger here.
Cool. Well, I mean, you're eventually going to go scope out some vampires, so you could probably get a snack for Everett.
Yeah, Ridley's just a very, very hungry, super injured burn victim.
Okay. So, Everett, I think then what we can say for you is the Bear Boys drop off your kind of standard duster outfit. But I think it's like, this is such a dumb specific metaphor, but in the Eaton Center here in Toronto, the Bay bought a bunch of like high fashion places and just ate them. Mm-hmm. So Topshop, which is a brand that I think was in the States before it came up here, is like just like well-cut menswear, but it's all just like slightly, like it just feels nicer and is like 8 times the price. So I feel like that's what they bring you. It's just like you put on, everything is like softer, like there's like a silk weave in it or something. And it's just because they've got like legitimately good taste that they went and found you the things that they know you like to wear, but they bought them from where they would buy things. And now that they're kind of dealing with like upper middle class money, they're well equipped for that. So Rupert St. John Smythe brings you just a slightly fancier version of your outfits. I feel like it's vaguely uncomfortable because you're used to like a certain amount of, you know, that Walmart or like Mark's Work Warehouse stiffness.
Yeah, the polyester to cotton shift can be a harsh message.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But also, I mean, you're not kind to these clothes, so it's not like the hardy, rugged ones really survive any longer with you, so might as well be comfy, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so...
long coat and a hat.
Did they get you the right hat?
I don't know. Should we roll for it?
Yeah, let's do it. Ryan, go ahead and roll me an etiquette, please.
Okie dokie.
Do they know their audience, or are they shopping for themselves?
That's two successes. So I think they would get just the right hat forever. I think Chonky is like fucked up about how things went really bad when the Bear Boys went to get stuff. So because of this die roll, he's been extra careful and like personally overseen that it's what would be wanted or asked for.
Then it's that Stetson with the little strap that goes around the cap part. Looks real sharp. Everett's a fan. Everett's like, "This is a nice hat, fellas." Thank you kindly.
Ridley stands up, having strapped on combat boots over his khakis that he took from the dead SWAT guy, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we all look fucking great."
And Rupert just says, "Well, yes, it's true. The Silver Foxes are somewhat inclined to travel around with fancy fellas, so I'm glad you like it, Mr. Everett. Boss, you make it work."
I'll take it. I think that's as good as anyone's ever said about my clothes, so I'm lightly touched, you know, in a good way.
Thanks, boss. I promise this is the level of service you can expect from the Silver Foxes. Now, if you'll excuse me, sorry, that's my Rupert voice. I'm working on it. This got to fit in, you know. We got some, like, I don't know, the neighborhood watch is real intense. So I gotta fit in as best I can. Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I have a squash game to attend to. Ta-ta! He taps his cane twice on the ground and flips it up under his arm and walks out.
You know, I don't want to say that force change is good, but I feel like it may have done good for the Bear Boys. If I keep stepping it up, you know?
Yeah, they seem to be coping pretty all right, all things considered.
Well, if there's one thing we know, it's that when something appears to be going well, don't ask further questions, because inside there's a fucking demon or something. So why don't we go find this Sergeant McGregor?
Yeah, it works for me.
All right, so Everett, Sergeant McGregor had left instructions, I think probably for like a safe place you guys could meet that isn't the fucking police station. Mm-hmm. Let's see, where would he? Oh, yeah. There is a cemetery just a little bit north of Montreal where some of the war dead from World Wars I and II are buried. And McGregor asked you to meet at a cenotaph there.
What is that?
Cenotaph is like a if you can. There's actually a pretty prominent one in Port Credit. It's like a large stone monument. Usually in Canada, at least, usually kind of vaguely marble looking, with a little like circular bit at the top and a little cross on it. There's one across from the arena. It's like a little parquet over there. But anyway, it's a generally just a I don't know that it's always a war monument, but that's the only context I've ever heard it used in.
Okay,
is that.
Cool. So.
Are they the things that sometimes they have like names carved in them the whole way
yes,
around?
Yes, absolutely. Like so it's like an obelisk without the pointy bit, with kind of a round bit at the top with names carved down, usually commemorating either a specific war or a specific conflict within a war. So it could be Vimy, it could be whatever. But yeah, so he basically only suggested A, because of obviously his ties to his service in the war. But B, it's a nice, obvious landmark. It's not one of those like, "Find me by the grave," and you're like, "Well, fucking okay." There's a lot, so it's not like the end of the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're just running through with like beautiful music playing, looking at every gravestone.
Yeah.
So he once you get a message to him, he agrees to meet you there this evening. So my question to the two of you is, how do you want to approach this meeting?
Literally or tactically, because literally I'm assuming we hail like we get a
Dinkeldorf captain.
Dinkeldorf, yeah.
I mean more tactically. Well, like you roll up to you roll up to the graveyard, you can see the cenotaph in the distance. An easy visual metaphor for this is the statue level of Goldeneye, where it's like you can see the thing you need to get to. There's an important meeting that's going to happen there, but you also like don't actually know Sergeant McGregor that well. I think last session, Everett, you did mention to Ridley that McGregor's an anarch. So I don't know how that plays for you, Ridley. I don't think you would necessarily have an inherent distrust of anarchs, but also you've been kind of pro-Camarilla the whole time. So,
Yeah, I think Ridley... Well, you know, we can just have this conversation. So I understand that this guy's an anarch. And technically, you know, we're on the Camarilla side of things. But I don't really give a shit about that in private. It's just one of those things you got to do for the boss. So if he's useful, if he's friendly, that's great. Do you need me to fucking hide out nearby? Do you need me to be big and scary? Is this a good cop, bad cop, or a good cop, or a bad cop, bad cop? Like, what's the cop to cop ratio you're looking for out of me as your partner?
Well, I think it would be... I think it's going to maybe take a little bit of faith here, but I think it would set a good precedent if we came out in the open to meet this fella. Established a level of trust, so to speak, in that way. And in the spirit of that, I should also let you know that I put him onto the trail of one Jocelyn St. James, thinking that they might be a good fit for causing some trouble from both Inquisition and or rogue vampire elements. Now, with Jocelyn, I don't think she'll be too happy to see me, so I don't know if we're going to see her tonight or not, whether he's found her or not, but...
Okay, so if things go bad, I got my fucking finger gloves, but otherwise, you think he might be reasonable? Might be part of what I've come to think of as the White Fanged line, you know? He's on the side of justice here, so yeah, let's just go say hello, you know? Yeah.
He saved my life. He gave me a ride. I don't see any reason to kind of spring anything on him. We should be able to meet him.
I literally have
kind of
allied to the death with people for so much less than that. So no, this guy's great.
All right. And I'll start walking into the cemetery.
And Ridley will just follow.
Or getting into the cab or wherever we are.
Oh,
right
we're
now.
At the cemetery. Yeah. No, we don't need to do a cab scene. Like, okay. All right. So you're sitting in the cab. There's one of those video screens playing information about Montreal, yeah. A lot of which is irrelevant because a bunch of the city burned a few days ago. So, like,
the touch screen doesn't react to our undead hands.
Of we're just course stuck, not. You're just stuck watching the same ad over and over and over again.
Every time I get in one of these, I hope it's the cash cab, and it never fucking is. I need the fucking money.
Here at Papa John's, we believe in a bunch of stuff that's going to piss a lot of people off, but we also make what can technically be described as pizza.
Just want to turn
click to find out more. Here at Papa John's.
Nathan, how much do you get for having these fucking things in here? Because I'll pay you to take it out.
For the record, I'm imagining this isn't Nathan, only because he's running a very big business now. So,
oh, fuck, you're not even Nathan. What's your name?
My name is Timmy Jones. People call me Little Timmy Jones because a lot of people say I remind them of a gangly teenager named DJ Quails. But I am a man and I own this cab. Also, that screen brings in about $109.95 a month. So that's pretty good. I'm a little tired of hearing Mr. Father John talk about his pizzas, though it's kind of been stuck on that one for a while. We used to have different ones, but that's the one now. Have you had that Father John's pizza? Is it good?
I don't eat
pizza,
he says to his own deep satisfaction, remembering the movie Dracula.
All right. Okay. One day I'll find someone. I don't feel like anyone's eating that in Canada. But I feel like they're advertising a lot, so I'm sorry, I can't turn it off, but if you want to pay for it, like, it's $109.95 a month, so, like, I don't know.
I don't know. As the owner of the co-owner of the company, you know, $109 is way better than I thought you were getting. I figured it had to be, like, you know, one of those YouTube ads, which is, like, I don't know, you drive the all night, it's fucking Spotify, you get 35 cents, and then I just eat shit the whole time.
Oh, yeah, no, it's $109.95, which is pretty good. It's usually more than I make driving, actually. I feel like I'm actually just, like, part of the ad machine, like in Mad Men. Have you guys seen Mad Men?
Timmy, was it? Timmy?
Oh, yeah, Little Timmy Jones.
Little Timmy Jones. The cemetery is just right over there. If you want to just pull over, we can hop out right here.
Oh, I don't really feel comfortable making an illegal turn like that. So I'll just go up and hang a left, and then we'll get. Also, like, are you in a rush to get to the grave? Is there, like, a? It's pretty late for a funeral, isn't it?
So, I mean, Timmy, how much do you know about a clientele of Dinkeldorf cabs? I've got to ask.
No, I don't know. I just started working here last month. So far, I've only made $199.95. But Mr. Dinkeldorf was saying that, like, we're independent now, which is kind of cool, I guess. But I don't know. It hasn't changed much for me just yet. Clientele are people who need to go somewhere, but they don't necessarily have a vehicle, or they're inebriated, so they can't drive their vehicle. So I pick them up. That's how cabs work, sir. I don't know if you have cabs in England, but that's how they work here.
A quick sort of point of order here, just because I can't get it out of my head. Does Little Timmy Jones look exactly like any kind of Rick Moranis character from the 1980s?
I mean, he can, actually. I didn't realize that's what I was doing, but yeah.
That will make it harder to kill him.
But it's Rick Moranis if he was stretched to DJ Quayle's proportions. So it's like a tall, thin Rick Moranis, which is really unsettling to me. Oh. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm having a bunch of people over, Dana. If you want to come, we're going to play Parcheesi. It's just a couple people from work, but oh, you're closing the door. Okay, well, yeah, guys.
The body is Doug Jones, but it's been ADR'd by Rick Moranis.
Yeah. Doug Moranis.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad you joined the cab company. You know, I think this is going to be an interesting position for you. Yeah, you're going to learn some things. Just make sure you listen to Nathan. And let's try to get your income up, because I don't like that, you know, 60% of your earnings come from the video machine in the back of the cab.
Yeah, I mean, Uber's taking a real bite out of the taxi industry here. Hang on. Sorry, I can't talk while I'm turning. It's dangerous. Hang on.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. I am Inquisitor Caveat Ventus, Keeper of the Inquisition's Black Library, and I'm releasing my report on the Valentine Heresy. It's an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Join Ryan LaPlante as Inquisitor Lucius Valentine, and Laura Elizabeth and Tyler Hewitt as hive-bred siblings Lyric and Alto, as this unlikely trio try to save the Emperor from a cabal of mysterious enemies in a series created by Games Master Tom McGee. Can these unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war? Find out in the first episode of Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.
Okay, the light turns, so we gotta wait a second. Yeah, I don't know. The Ubers and the Lyfts have taken a big bite out of our service here, but you know, it's people like you who give me faith that you know, you can still make a living. If you can't drive two gentlemen, well dressed gentlemen, to a graveyard in the middle of the night, then really, what can you? Oh, hang on, the light's changing. Okay, so we're turning around now. Listen, I'll drop you right off there at the front gate. I hope that's going to be okay. This is going to be a $13 ride, but I understand from Mr. Dinkeldorf that you gentlemen ride for free, so that's pretty great. But if you
Everett's
feel
out.
Like tipping...
Everett's out of the cab.
Okay, all right. Well, you have a Dinkeldorfy day. Right. That's something I'm trying.
Ridley will just drop a 20 in the cab kind of disgustedly and also climb out. And he's like, I'm going to call... fucking Nathan. Like, over Everett's shoulder, there's just Ridley on the cell phone as they walk in the graveyard being like, who the fuck are you hiring? These people don't even know we're fucking vampires. If you tell him, he's gonna die. Somebody's gonna fucking eat him. You need to just, let's use him as a front, and if somebody needs to tell the cops about a company, send him that guy, because if I was a cop, I'd bail on an investigation. I'd be like, I don't know, let him sell heroin to school kids. I can't fucking talk to this guy.
Mr. Beef, I understand, and I'll definitely speak to Mr. Little Timmy Jones.
I don't know if talking to him is going to help. I just wanted to.
I understand. I appreciate that. We lost 50% of our cabs and drivers during the purge. So he's, and this truly pains me as a lifelong cabman. He is currently one of our best drivers. He actually has a spotless record. He seems to be a very careful driver. So I'll see what I can do. But in the meantime, honestly, he's kind of your best bet right now. Also, the man is just fucking like wet shredded wheat. No cop's gonna look twice at him. So he's kind of the best cover I've got for you. But of course, whatever you need.
Okay. Don't even bother talking to him then. You know what? If he's good, he's good. He's what we've got. Oh shit. All right. So I'm just gonna make a note. Just put a pin in this for you and I. I'm trying to move into some businesses. If I can get some money behind me, I'll make a move with this city council and I'll see what we can do about shutting down this Uber Lyft shit. I don't like the business model. I don't like what they do to independent contractors. I don't like how they fuck over their drivers. Let's just bury them, you know? Moment I get some fucking money, we'll do some fucking bribes, clean up all this shit.
I mean, that sounds great. I mean, look, if you want, I just approved the union bid here for Dinkeldorf. So, I mean, if we can spread that to some of the other drivers in town, maybe that could help.
Oh, fucking A. Yeah, let's get on that. Fucking whoever wants to come with us, full union. We'll sort that shit out.
It is going to cost us some money, sir. I hope that's all right. We installed some ad screens. I'm hoping that kind of offsets it.
I mean, as you've noticed, I'm not taking money out. This is about building up a brand, you know, right. Building up a solid company. So focus on, you know, keeping the earnings up. Let's get some new boys in and let's shut down these fucking tech companies. I don't like them. I don't like them because I can't read the fucking apps. He says, and he just hangs up the phone and puts it in his pocket. Why are no fucking disability features on any of these fucking apps? He says just to himself as he stomps through the graveyard behind Everett.
He's not wrong. So, you make your way deeper into the graveyard, and eventually you see the telltale glow of a cigar. I think both of you again recognize, as Everett you did before, that this is one of those weird like Irish drinking bourbon things where it's like it doesn't make any fucking sense, but it's what he does. And sure enough, you see Sergeant McGregor. He is not wearing his sort of standard flashy gear. He is instead just wearing a pair of black jeans and kind of one of those sort of thick corded sweaters that are a hella cozy. But it looks ancient. Like this thing, it's worn well, but it just has that look of it that he's probably had it since World War II. And he's smoking a cigar, and you notice that he is twiddling an arrow between his fingers. And as you approach, he just kind of clamps the cigar between his teeth and says,
Everett Fry, it's good to see you, lad.
Oh, good to see you too, Sergeant McGregor.
Who's your friend?
This here's Ridley Beef.
He's Ridley with me. Beef? It's a hell of a name you got.
Well, you know, you get the names you pay for. Nice to meet you. I mean, right now I'm dressed like a doctor, but I feel like Dr. Beef sounds like I'm in the porno. So nice to meet you. And it's like extend his hand to shake kind of thing.
McGregor will like, he'll give you one of those grins that's kind of like a grinning in spite of yourself grin. He's like,
honestly, I understand. When I found out there was a sock brand called McGregor, I ate shit for a good month. This country fucking blows some days. Good to meet you.
And he grabs your hand and shakes it heartily.
Yeah, yeah. I fucking like this guy. This is going to be good. This is a nice, meaningful friendship starting here. So I'll let you two boys chat because we're wondering about that fucking cop who shot him in the head.
McGregor kind of like grits his teeth a little bit and looks to you, Everett, and he says, about that. Everett, you mentioned you knew Billy. How well did you know her?
In a professional capacity, as professional as we could be. She put me on to a couple of leads on a case, and I helped her out on a couple of cases.
She was good at that.
And he takes like a solid drag of the cigar, and you see him wince as he does it. He's clearly doing what you guys have to do and rolling like a fortitude check every time he takes a puff. And just kind of see the smoke kind of wisp out of his nostrils and between his teeth, and he just says,
Billy's in a shite. I don't know how to sugarcoat this for you. She's in a coma.
What happened?
There was a different kind of kindred outside the bar. Flipped a car on her. It was crazy. Never seen anything like it.
What do you mean, different kind?
Elongated limbs. Just fucking flipped the car like it was nothing.
Was it a woman?
And he kind of shrugs. He's like, laddie, I didn't look up her fucking skirt. The fuck would I know?
I just thought maybe I'd seen or heard something similar.
You're talking like a giant, you know, black oil mathed, slender man, fucking blades friends, psychopath thing.
And he just kind of like points the cigar at you through pinched fingers and just nods. Says, yeah, I'm to tell you the truth, I'm thinking it's that fucking Drac. I'm thinking it's maybe giving people things they shouldn't have. Some, at least.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go sharing around trade secrets, but I'll tell you this. You're fucking right. Drac's a train wreck, and it's a cause of fucking frenzies and demons and a whole pile of shit.
Seems to affect all kinds of people differently.
Did you find Jocelyn St. James?
And he flips the bolt around and kind of like tosses it to you and says,
I found her. She was fucking pissed.
Yeah.
I can understand was, huh? That. So how's she feeling now? Because she escaped from the trunk of a car. I was hoping to have a chat with her and be like, so now you get to make a decision. You live as a vampire and try to do the right thing. You can jump into the sun. But then she got out of the trunk of the car and we couldn't have a fucking chat. So she sort of, you know, lead us out there, and technically he's responsible. He's a dead now, he's a vampire.
And he kind of like leans down and pulls out a just a small like an overnight bag, not one with wheels or anything, just kind of a small like gym bag type thing. He opens it and he just shakes out a bunch of skulls with elongated teeth, and then he just kind of nods at them and he says, Anarch and Camarilla both.
Your work or hers?
Hers, laddie. Her crusade didn't die with her humanity. If anything, it got more vicious.
And how did you come across these skulls?
I'm just going to take a walk. Better for me not to know about what's going on with the crusade that I'm definitely going to have to lie about later. So, cool, she's out there and she's killing anarchs. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to go sing a song. And you just hear him singing like a, you know, sea shanty. Someone played him on TikTok from like he overheard a student in the fucking hallways at the hospital. And he's just going to walk away so they can talk about this. Because I think Ridley is smart enough to know that he's like not going to be able to hold up under a Kindred interrogation because he forgets facts all the time. So easier for him to be a little bit blank and for have Everett to give him stuff on a need to know.
Interesting company you keep there, Mr. Fry.
Yeah, well, he's a regular duffel bag of skulls himself.
Well, your Miss St. James has been making quick work of Kindred here in town. Luckily, most of it was covered by the Purge, the Inquisition. But these are a new couple of these lads. Weren't bad, weren't good, but weren't bad.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Not your fault, laddie. She'd have done it as long as she was drawing breath.
Well, actually, that...
You know what I mean.
That sounds right, yeah. How did you come to be in possession of this?
He, like, pulls down his shirt a bit, and you can see there's, like, a bunch of non-healed arrow wounds. He says, tractor for a... For a little bit of time during the purge, realized there wasn't much I could do.
So, no truce there then, is there?
Well, she didn't kill me, so there's that, at least.
Could she have?
Oh, aye. She had plenty of opportunity.
Well, shot I guess me. That's...
He kind of, like, laughs a little bit, and he's like, listen, laddie, I've been shot a bunch of places, and you can always tell when someone's aiming not to kill.
Right. I see. Look, sorry, that was an unexpected turn in the conversation. What's going on with Officer Kincaid? Is she going to be all right? Is she going to... What's the doctor saying?
He kind of scratches at his head a little bit. It's almost a sense of bashfulness. And he's like,
Gotta admit something to you. After bailing you out, I couldn't exactly go back. So I've seen what I can. And all I know is that she's in a coma. I don't think I'll be putting back on the blues, if you understand my meaning. I think it's not the first time I've had to pick a new identity, but my time as a cop, it's done.
Well, that kind of puts a kibosh on our plan to put the cops onto a case.
Oi, are you guys done talking about the person I can't know any more about?
Big eye roll.
Yeah, Ridley, come on out.
Okay, so what the fuck's going on with, like, I don't know, the cop and the shit I'm here about?
Billy Kincaid's in a coma, and Officer McGregor over here ain't an officer no more, so kind of losing our inroads with the police.
Well, I mean, the coma, is he dead? Why don't we go, you know, help her wake up?
Well, the last human we tried to kind of oil the wheels on, so to speak, medically, wound up getting some kind of werewolf cocktail put in her as well. Sure, it helped her heal up, but now she's a whole other thing.
Sorry there, laddie. What the fuck are you talking about?
That's sort of a
hanging
side
out
type
with the fucking mangy werewolves.
Oh, fuck, I don't know what the shit that accent was, but that's as close as we're getting. We're
not hanging out. It was supposed to be.
I'd say, here's the deal. We know a werewolf who's a good werewolf. It's not meaning we're hanging out with all the werewolves. You know, we're hanging out with you. You're an anarch. Doesn't mean we hang out with all the anarchs. It comes down to we hang out with the good ones in a team. But what that was fucking so weird blood magic bullshit from the woods. One thing I've learned over that, like, plane flight I had where I learned a little bit about vampirism is we could just give her some of our fucking blood. Wouldn't turn her into a vampire, but people could use it to, you know, get stronger, real faster, all that kind of shit.
Vampire blood brings people out of comas?
Well, it fucking helps them heal, because it helps us heal. It kind of gives them some of the principles. They can get addicted if you do it often, you know, a couple of times, but we're talking a one-off, save a life from someone who got blown up by, I don't know, some confused demon person who may not have fucking meant it.
And McGregor kind of shakes his head and he's like, what your friend here says is true, but if they're brain dead, it's not a whole hell of a lot you can do.
Well, what if we turn them?
Has the brain death been confirmed? Do you know that?
I don't know. I haven't been able to go back.
All right. Well, I'm a doctor, so we can clearly go in there and find out what's going on. But what if someone's brain dead, but you turn them into a vampire, does that mean their brain kicks back in, or does that mean they're all the way out and then you just got a vampire body you got to fucking feed? It's empty. Tabula rasa scenario.
He shrugs and he's like, laddie, I'll tell you this. Billy Kincaid wouldn't. Nope, no, he's just Irish.
Well, you know, he's traveled.
Billy Kincaid wouldn't want to come back as a vampire. So, best you consider that.
Right, so.
You can still do it. I won't stop you. I'd like to have my friend back, but.
I've had my fill of that kind of exchange. Thank you very much. Sounds like we need to visit the hospital there, Ridley, at least to see whether she can come back from this.
Yeah, I'd like to know how much, you know, we need to blame ourselves for this shit and how bad everyone, you know, should feel. And I hope it's not at all. And she'll do great and go back and, you know, become the chief of police and shit. So let's go find out what we need to do.
Yeah. You know, McGregor, we've got a couple friends in the healthcare business. Do you know what hospital she's at?
He gives you a name. It's not one of DeSantis's, but it is one that is serviced by his company. He's trying to expand his empire, so he doesn't own all the hospitals, but he definitely does supply a lot of them.
Supply. Okay, that's something. I'll say
thanks so much for coming out here to meet us. What's next for you, McGregor?
So he just kind of looks at the end of his cigar and just stubs it against a name on the cenotaph. Tyler, you're the one directly talking to him. Can you roll me a resolve and awareness, please.
And awareness is another 3. Yeah. It has been so long, I can't remember if over or under 5 is the success.
Over 5. It's 6 plus is success, 5 and less is fail.
Right, okay. I think I fucked up on my hunger roll in my, whatever. 1,
too
two,
late now. Three. You're so hungry, you don't care what the number was.
No, for sure. 3 successes.
You just see the edge of the word Gregor carved into the Centaf, and he just kind of ashes his cigar against it.
That's cool.
Says, laddie, if there's a piece of advice, if there's a piece of advice I could give you, it's don't worry about regrets. You can't have them. Not when you're like us. So, you want to try and save our friend Billy? Great. Do it. But don't live in regret about it. Life ain't too short. It's too long.
And then he kind of pats you on the shoulder. And I think he gives you like a cell phone number you can reach him at. You get the sense that he's not trying to actively avoid your question. He likely just doesn't know. Like, there's a real sense of like, you know, the Ronin at the end of any samurai movie, or like the cowboy who came to town and cleared it out and now doesn't really know what to do. But he like repacks the skulls
and just stoops down and picks each one up at a time.
Yep. just kind of nods at you and says, I really hope you do save Billy. I think I'll we'll keep on jostling. See if perhaps we can come to an accord.
I think that might be good for the both of you. If you can make it happen. I understand it won't be easy, but appreciate the effort.
He smiles, just says, as long as there's no follow-up questions, effort's my middle name. And then he just gives you a little wave and fucks off into the graveyard.
I'll kind of just call out after him,
I don't know if you said it before and it's why she shot you, but just again, tell Jocelyn I'm sorry.
He just leans back over your shoulder and says, you gotta stop doing that, laddie. No regrets. It's the only way to unlive. And then he wanders off into the night.
No regrets. All right. Sounds like we got to get to the hospital. You up for another ride?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Little Timmy Jones.
I was going to say, good news, bad news. We don't have to pay for the cab, which is the good news. And the bad news is we've got little Timmy Jones assigned to us on an ongoing basis because he's their cleanest driver. So I hope you learn to like him. Because I'm going to fucking have to. Also, I don't know if you've heard TikTok fucking shanties, but the problem is they're 20 seconds long. So you're just going to sing the same fucking loop over and over again. Why don't people just listen to the old fucking song on YouTube?
And with that, you pile into the cab and head off in search of the fate of Billy Kincaid.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kyle Angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, that's JAHZZAR. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Dice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Fire Unfriendly, Logan, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.